FreedomRadio.com and incidentally the EvenEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's alternative media. Speaking of which, there is now a special on where you can subscribe for $5 a month to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we will send you out a DVD every 3 months. So that's a DVD for $15, not including, that's also including postage and handling. So it's a very good deal. So if you go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com or gorillamedia.co.nz, in a real bind at the moment, financially speaking, and desperately need the help of the listeners in order to stay on air. Yeah, so if anybody out there's got a spare $5 this month, please send it this way. And if you can't send it to me, or don't want to, find somebody else to support. Somebody who helps your country or helps your activists to get their words out on airwaves, things of that nature. I think alternative media is probably one of the most important things for the general public to be, well, supporting at this particular point in time, because we're right on the cusp of victory. Oh, yeah. Even though there's all this draconian legislation, all this varying degrees of scumbaggery, we're still winning. Okay, otherwise they wouldn't have to do all of this stuff. They wouldn't have to sign bills into law that mean they can disappear people into a black hole without even so much as a courtesy of a kangaroo court. They wouldn't have to do that if they weren't in deep trouble. Uber deep trouble. Yes. That's basically what's going on here. And my consideration for those who are in alternative media is that, hey, we all really do need to come together and cross-promote, cross-support. And so I wanted to give a good shout-out to Mike Chambers from MikeChambersLive.com and Karen Quinn Tostado from UnitedWeStrike.com. This weekend is the United We Strike Radio Marathon, and it's going to be a three-day marathon starting at 4 a.m. local Pacific time. I'm sorry for all those people in L.A. or California who would have to get up that early to listen to it. I'm not sure if you'd really want to, but they've got an incredible lineup. Oh, yeah. People from all over the world, top activists talking about the ongoing Gulf of Oil Kano Massacre and varying other things. They even have the guys from A Noble Lie, the new 1995 documentary about Oklahoma City bombing, doing a section on that as well. We got people from the UK, and they've also just given me a spot of my own to do with what I will, and I'll most likely be making some description of Kiwi segments. So it's a global resistance, and I kind of represent the Kiwi element of that. We have a lot of activists here in New Zealand who are working tirelessly against the varying New World Order agendas, and I try to find them, get them on this radio show, get some archives for them, put them up on YouTube, that kind of thing. It's basically like free promo, because in general, activists are very humble people, generally. They don't crave publicity. They certainly don't go out seeking it, unless, of course, it's a publicity stunt. But in which case, they're never asking for the publicity to go for their way in particular. They're asking for it to go towards the issues that they're talking about. And this is why activists, I feel, in large part, are relatively unknown by the general public, because A1, They don't get much media coverage. And B2, even if they do, they get a soundbite. And now, let's face facts here. Anybody who listens to talk radio and say, you know, you interview a guest for 2 hours or even 1 hour, it gives you an incredible depth of information beyond that of a small, insignificant soundbite, you know? And that's why it's so important to keep getting those people on air, because the information that they have is well-researched, documented, and is of great value to the rest of humanity as a whole. Primarily because information is one of the most damaging things when you want to bring down a lie. Lies are shattered easily by truth. Okay, they simply don't stand up to it. Truth is a, it's like a boulder in the Indiana Jones sense of the word, you know, rolling towards you and smash you out of the way like 10 pins. You've got no choice, really, once you're fighting against the truth and the truth starts rising against you. Then you've got to start to act very desperate, don't you? And that's what I feel is happening with the governments these days, you know? Hey, you have a look anywhere. It's all getting draconian. It's all getting nasty. It's all getting poisonous. Writhing masses of vipers in Parliament seem to believe, inextricably, that the rest of us are their servants. And the reality is, it's the other way round. Because we live in such a topsy-turvy world, that's what's the problem with this world. It's completely upside down. The people who care nothing for the general public are the ones that wind up getting themselves in control to a large extent of the general public. Those who care greatly about people are often the ones that are bumped off, ignored, demonized. Something happens to them to make them ineffective, discredited, etc. There's many, many tactics that are used. And there are people out there who say, oh, well, I don't want to get up. I don't want to say anything because the New World Order might discredit me. They might hurt me. They might kill me. Hey, look, you know, you really don't have a choice. Okay, they're going to do that anyway. All right. Question is whether you want to be killed after doing nothing and look back and say, hey, I had all this time to act. I had all this time to be responsible. I had all this time to make an example of myself, to inspire others to fight tooth and nail for freedom. And I wasted that opportunity because I was too afraid. Don't do that to yourself. Siri, I can assure you that living a life full of regret and being upset about the things you have done or haven't done is really not a good existence. You really do have to get over things. Once you get over them, hey, then you've got to figure out which direction you're going. Kind of like jumping a fence. Once you get over it, which way are you running? You know, are you jumping the fence out of a prison yard? Are you getting out of there? Are you escaping your enslavement? And which way to freedom? Which way to freedom, I wonder? That's what a lot of people are debating right now. There's no debate about what the problems are, although people debate endlessly about that, and it's really foolish to a large degree. You know, I'm not saying I've got something against debate, but if you're going to argue the toss about whether or not there's a New World Order agenda to implant microchips or not, or whether or not there's a New World Order agenda to poison the vaccines or not, it matters not. If you understand that there is a New World Order and they just want to kill you all, basically, it makes everything else kind of fall by the wayside, doesn't it? Because it's kind of insignificant. Because it's on the points you agree that you should come together and collaborate, and on the points you disagree, just leave them for another time. You know, perhaps a time when you're not about to be exterminated. How about them apples? You know, might be a brilliant idea. Spend your time wisely, because you only have a limited amount of it. Wisely. if you're sitting around doing absolutely nothing, if you're not even so much as informing yourself, then you're wasting your time. Okay, but of course, make sure that you're relaxed. No need to be too tense, is there? Because that just causes you stress. And stress will freaking kill you just as surely as the New World Order will. That's why they're so adept at causing it. Stress you out with the newscasters. Have you ever noticed that? Every time you see a newscaster, you kind of get angry a little bit. I was watching one of my videos last night and kind of talking to this three news bimbo. And the frustration. Yeah. Because you know. After you ask a question or two, that they don't know what they're doing. Okay, they're really dumb, and they're giving these kind of very short, strange answers, okay, as if they don't know what they're talking about. And there's a reason for that. They don't, right? Anybody who thinks a newscaster or a reporter knows what they're talking about and knows it unequivocally and has all the evidence and everything like that is simply not paying attention, okay? They're not even interviewing the right people. Here's what they do. And I've seen this many times at protests. They find the ugliest, stupidest looking, most retarded person at the protest, and you go up and ask questions of them. They don't go to the person with the megaphone who's giving information out over it. They don't go to the person who's actually organized the protest. They don't go to those people with the information because they know that as soon as they start asking them questions, that they're going to start getting answers. They don't want answers. They want entertainment. And it's not entertaining to think, oh, this is scary. It's scary, scary, scary stuff. Because, oh, we're being exterminated. It's a dangerous time. At the best of times, these days anyway. So many poisons everywhere. Both physical, chemical, and mental and verbal. And you have to deal with it. You don't really have much of a choice in that matter. My question to these media reporters is how can you live with yourself? Okay? You're shilling BS for a living. What did you do yesterday? Oh, well, I reported on some balloon crash in New Zealand. Okay. What significance is that to the entire country? Well, there's some people that died in a balloon crash. Okay. No significance whatsoever then. Okay. Well, let's do an entire week of intense reporting and interview their relatives. All of them. And milk this for as much as we can. Because what you lose, like a dozen people? Huh? Is that the big game here? Dozen people die, and all of a sudden, you're the most brilliant reporter known to man? It doesn't make any sense. And that's what happens when you got stupid people telling you what to think about. Of course it doesn't make sense. How can a moron give you a clear, indignant thought that matters? They can't. It's not in their vocabulary. They've never learned how to give a flying F about anybody other than themselves. Don't underestimate the scumbaggery of the media under any circumstances. They are always, always out to corral you and crop you and make you appear something that you're not. A friend of mine, Jono, came over last night, stayed up to 1 a.m. and I said, hey mate, do you want to watch one of my Occupy videos? And he's like, yeah. And I've done like maybe 8-9 Occupy videos. You go to my YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media, one word, youtube.com/ Mr. News Guerrilla Media, and you search Occupy in my videos list and it'll come up with quite a few. And just the ones that are video, not the radio YouTube clips that I've got there. I think there's about maybe 9 of them explaining various aspects about Occupy during various times, on protests, just at the Occupy, when they're being evicted, that kind of thing. And we sat down and we watched them all. And he said, whoa, man, I had no idea. No idea whatsoever. Because all I was told by the media was that they were just a bunch of hippie scum. And they had nothing, you know. They made fun of, you know, the Occupy thing, how they put their fingers up, you know, with the twinkly fingers for yes and twinkly fingers down for no and, you know, twinkly fingers to the side. See, they made fun of that. And they did like a 10-minute segment on it, okay, making fun of the Occupy movement. Now, personally, I'm all for making fun, but if you ignore the issues, if you're trying to sidestep them, if you're trying to demonize people, if you're not telling the 100% honest, decent, irrefutable truth, then you're doing a disservice to the country. Now, me, I personally got no journalistic background or qualifications whatsoever. So I'm perfectly qualified to go out and do real journalism because these people, with all their qualifications, have simply learned to not be journalists, to be reporters. I'm a reporter. I am a very nice lady, and I have a Gucci handbag, and I'm going to Tahiti next week on holiday. I'm going to sit in the sun and think about all those trash that I manipulate all day long. Yes. That's about right, isn't it? You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Putting truth out and real information and, well, just could just be my opinion, though. You never know. But at least I'm telling you to question. They don't. We'll be right back after this break. The way it's going to be.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in 3 models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health. Lawyers destroy justice. Universities destroy knowledge. Governments destroy freedom. The major media destroys information. And religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
What do I hear about in this country? It's our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. If you know anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality. Anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. Tuberculite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Tuberculite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Tuberculite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
You're listening to the Future of Talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know about the Bilderberg and New World Order? What you know about the real fluoride in your water? What you know about the breed of uranium in the mortar? What you know about AIPAC controlling the reporter? What's wrong with the world? People kill people that other people command. Middle East is a modern day attack on a native land. Project eugenics planned on the common man, expand the military industrial complex. Annex foreign soil with chemical objects. Vex the psyop attacking your conscience. Next, your brain agrees with the offense. Political correctness, people are afraid to speak what they feel instead of what they made. I don't see black and white, I see a reason to debate. Cause right about now a lot of lands are betrayed. A slave to the system, we need to break free. We need to burn down the Fed facility. We need to stand up and fight for the liberty. But puppet president, we need a visionary. Society is brainwashed by the distractions. Don't give a damn about the government's action. Rather look the right way, rather dream of a mansion. You're a lamb to the slaughter for supporting the faction. Wake up, look up, and preach like a pastor. Teach the youth that the president's an actor, controlled by your master, a shadow in the mist. A conspiracy theory, cause these cats do exist.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My guest Penny Bright is having some monstrous technical difficulties, so we will not be having her on for the foreseeable future until she gets it sorted. Might be next segment, might be never, but who knows? Anyway, I wanted to kind of give people a bit of advice, actually, about how to run a radio show. Because I've been producing this thing by myself for a good six or eight months now, and the key here is automation. Okay, so you got to basically, if you're going to invite a guest on, the minimum requirement is that you need their email. Okay, that's usually how I get the guests on, and you need to have a pre-formatted email. Okay, that you can just copy paste and send. Okay, you put their name on it. And then you send it. So it has to be kind of generic. But also be complimentary, okay? Because often people will very much prefer to come into contact with people who compliment them and are nice to them and that kind of thing and offer them nice things. So when I do it, in fact, I'll just read out what I do for now. So let's say I wanted to get Alfred Weber from exopolitics.com. You know, nowadays that I've got him on Skype and me and Alfred chat now and again, it's pretty easy. So I can just say, hey, Alfred, do you want to come on at this time and that time, blah, 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 blah. It's sweet as good. Done. Easy peasy, right? So what I do now is you say like, hey, Alfred Weber, and this is the, that's all you have to write in. Your email, his name, and then the rest of it is all copy-pasted. This is Vinnie Eastwood. I want to give respectable artists, politicians, business people, activists, and researchers like yourself coverage on an international level on my radio show. It goes out on 25 AM FM stations worldwide, and there's a link to the Listen Live section of AmericanFreedomRadio.com so they can see where it's being broadcasted. I try to wake people up to the truth of the world's ins and outs of the NWO system using a little bit of humor. I've been doing this for years when no one else in New Zealand will try to bother creating any credible media. I'm trying to serve my country, community, and species by giving amplification to those whose voices are censored from our media in all spectrums of discourse. If you're interested in donating some of your valuable time, then let's schedule you to come on the show. In order to promote you as best we can, please send your website and bio, if any, to my email, gorillamrnews@gmail.com. Okay, done. Okay, six lines, and you can get virtually any guest, because that works. Trust me. And how long does it take you to send out an interview request like that? About 5 seconds. Okay? And then, once they reply, and this is the interesting part, you've also got to have a confirmation email print as well. Okay, and it depends what country you're in. So I'm in New Zealand, so I've got two confirmation letters, one for United States guests and one for New Zealand guests that have the respective times simply altered down the bottom. So let's say the person, let's say Alfred Weber says, oh, yeah, I'd love to be on your show, as they usually do. This is the auto interview confirmation email. Thanks so much for agreeing to come on the show. Feel free to promote the interview through your own networks in the lead up to get as many listeners live as possible in the chat room here. And a little chat room link there. And as for the subject matter, the ball is in your court, and I'll ask you to introduce yourself to me and the audience. And from then on, the show is a platform for you to use to get your message out, and I will give you a nice, friendly interview and joke around to ensure that we have some fun on air together. In order to promote you as best we can, please send your website and bio, if any, to my email, gorillamrnews@gmail.com. Anybody who's listening to this who's taking down my email address or whatever, go ahead and email me. If you've got a guest suggestion or something like that, the vast majority of the guests that we have on the show are suggestions from listeners and these people that sometimes are people I've never heard of. Rules. Now, this is the important part, because when you're bringing people on air, particularly if you're on American radio, we don't have such a thing as FCC regulations in New Zealand. We've got Broadcasting Standards Authority, the BSA. It's interesting that they're two of their letters are BS. But the rules are no swearing, as we're under FCC regulations, no talking during network breaks as it goes out on air, and when you hear music in your ears, it means the break is coming and you'll need to finish what you're saying as quickly as possible. So that just gives them a little bit of the bare minimum of what they need in order to make that radio interview, at the very least, mildly professional. Okay, easy peasy. And then, of course, you've got to explain to them, after all that higgledy-piggledy and explaining what they can't do and how to get the interview out, and then you've got to say the show is 5 till 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday. And then, of course, you've got to have a link in there to the time zones, because some people are on Mountain Time, some people are on Pacific, some people are on Central, some people are on Eastern, okay? There's four time zones in the States. I couldn't believe it. And then there's another thing here where you just can put in whatever it is. How does this time sound? So what you do is you don't allow them to make a time for themselves. You make the time for them and just ask them, is that okay? Okay? So how does this time sound? I've penciled you in. We'll call you. Email me back to confirm. That's all you need to do, because that way it gives them the opportunity to just look in their diary and go, okay, sweet as, I've got that particular hour or 2 hours spare, and I can sort this nice and simple and easy. Okay? Ease is the most important thing when it comes to doing radio interviews. Other than obviously just making sure that the content is great and having good guests, having it done in an easy fashion is very, very important, because frankly, it'll just soak up your time if it's too difficult. And most people, and it doesn't matter whether you're a radio show host or just a hardworking individual doing your 40, 50, 60 hours a week, nobody got no time no more. Pretty straightforward. I would prefer, and this is specific to American Freedom Radio because we do the show via Skype, I would prefer to do it via Skype, so if you have a Skype account, please add me and the studio as a contact. And if you don't have Skype, it's easy to set up here, and there's a wee link. Okay? So once you've got Skype and you've got somebody's added as a contact, it's very, very easy. Okay? Skype is just so... it just takes a lot of the stress out of it, really, because you can just communicate with somebody, you can chat with them, you can video call them, you can even transfer files, and there's a new, well, it's actually not new, it's pretty old, but there is the ability to do what's called screen sharing, okay, where, let's say I'm looking at my computer screen right here and I want to show you something on it, you can click on the screen share button on Skype, and it'll do like a video call, and it'll show the other person what I'm looking at on my screen and vice versa, okay? And this is also good for mentoring, teaching people things across Skype. You know, if you want to teach somebody how to do a little bit of video editing or whatever, there's a million uses for it. I can't really go into all of them. Now, as a backup, please, what's your landline number and website? It's always important to have a backup protocol because, well, as you can see today, there sometimes can be complications and difficulties with Skype. But, of course, Skype is preferable because not all landlines are created equal. Some of them are on bad lines. They have crackling. They have this, that, and the other. And Skype is generally a bit more higher quality in terms of audio. Okay. Now, if it is not possible, we can do the interview via phone, but this can be a little expensive and means we cannot speak during network breaks. Thanks, Vinny Eastwood, Mr. News. Okay. So it's pretty... straightforward. You've covered all your bases there. You've covered what the rules are for being on air. You've gotten their contact email and website and Skype contacts and phone number just in case. And you've set out a time for them, as well as given them links to the time zone so that they know exactly what it is. You've penciled them into your diary so you don't have to remember. Okay, and once they email you back to confirm, you can just basically put a tick next to it or whatever. Or if they've just got getting you back the Skype contacts, all good. All right, nice, simple, fresh, easy. And again, how long does it take me to send that? Copy, paste, 5 seconds. Maybe take about maybe an extra 10 or 20 seconds to do the timing. So I'll say like a Tuesday, January the 10th. All right. And it'll be 5 to 7 p.m. Central. And then what you do is you enlarge that particular part of the email. You make it much larger because the time is the only real important thing that you've actually got to worry about there, because when you're sending that email, all of the rest of the stuff, like all the details about what the rules are and getting a bio and email, all that kind of stuff doesn't actually really matter. What matters most of all, and this is why you have to actually enlarge that particular section of the email, is that you get their time zone correct. Once they know exactly what the time is, and if it's right there in big, fat, bold letters, they ain't got a choice in the matter. Okay? Oh, my guest Penny Bright is online now. We'll see if we can bring her up. Penny. I love Penny Bright. She's such a legendary lady. All right. We'll see if we can connect her up. Perhaps the board op will be able to. All right, cool. We're calling her now. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, that's all you need to do in order to confirm your guests. And now we have the fabulous Penny Bright live from New Zealand. Penny, welcome to the program.
I'm so sorry, Vinny. Yeah, hi.
Everybody's got technical difficulties and... Don't worry, Penny. I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you. Just as long as you keep exposing scumbaggery.
I'll just get over my mental breakdown and we'll be fine. Yes, sorry.
It becomes really stressful, doesn't it? Like, if you're on radio, you've got you watch the clock and it's ticking by. Like, I'm missing minute after minute of live radio. It's like, when you're a host, it's like 10 times worse, I can assure you. So don't worry about it, Penny, because I'll probably be stressing out a heck of a lot more than you.
All right. Okay, Vinny.
Okay.
Right, what would you like me to kick off with?
Well, we've only got a few minutes left in this segment, and I think we'll probably launch into it next. But for those who are actually unfamiliar, I'm not sure if I've actually done this with you before. Could you actually explain just a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Okay, my name's Penny Bright, and basically I'm a full-time troublemaker, full-time public watchdog. I'm lucky enough to own my own house, and it's just a bit of money from flatmates that keeps me going, so they can't cut off my funding because I don't get any. So anyway, I've been doing this since 2000 full time, and I'm a media spokesperson for a group called the Auckland Water Pressure Group, and we've been at the international forefront of fighting water privatisation, and based on our campaign of civil disobedience with water, where we disputed and refused to pay water bills in order to put pressure on the Auckland City Council. And, in our civil disobedience campaign, we've actually helped to achieve some quite significant law changes, like our famous Water Pressure Group Turn-On Squad. We used to help people... if the council tried to, or Metro Water, sorry, if the council water company, if they tried to restrict the water, we our Water Pressure Group Turn-On Squad would remove the water restrictors. When Metro Water removed the water meters, we'd replace the water meters. And when Metro Water dug up the street and removed pipes from the mains, we dug up the street, replaced the pipes, poured concrete over the pipes, and then they ran out of plumbing options. We actually got a law change, and it's now illegal for any council in New Zealand to try to permanently disconnect for non-payment of disputed bills. We won that on the streets, and that was a huge victory in the international right to water. So anyway, so from the water, then it got involved in a lot of other things,
which we'll get into after the break. Penny Bright from the Water Pressure Group is my guest, and you can check out her blog, waterpressure.wordpress.com. That's waterpressure.wordpress.com. Back in a minute at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. And by the way, it's the same big club they used to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. Yeah. You know? And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on. The fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream. Because you have to be asleep to believe it.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
If you want to be more than ever, people, you got to do more than ever, people. Not in a sexual way. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you go friggin' nuts, man. Laugh about things, okay? This is the one thing I like about Penny, is because she goes really, really deep. She's one of the most well-researched, well-spoken activists that I've ever met, and I've known her for a long time, and we've been to countless protests together. I've probably made more videos with Penny Bright than anybody else. So if you go to my YouTube channel, Mr. News, Guerrilla Media, there's links to it at guerrillamedia.co.nz and thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Search Penny Bright, and you'll be able to see all this. The most popular video that I've done with Penny is actually an instructional video of how to remove a water clamp where Penny is manning an angle grinder. And it's a very, very good video because it just demonstrates the fact that any person can really take matters into their own hands against tyranny and corruption. Sometimes you just need a little bit of help, and Penny conveniently is always there to do that. Penny, welcome back.
Oh, thanks, Vinny. How many people have seen that?
Oh, I think it's up to 3,000-4,000 now.
Is that right?
Yeah. Not far out. Yeah, oh, man. People don't like getting their water clamped, Benny.
Well, that was part of the Auckland mayoral campaign, eh? And I was so looking forward to some of the other mayoral candidates being prepared to get their hands dirty, but, yeah.
Not a single one of them did. Any surprise, Penny? No.
Yeah, oh, well, that's the secret. Any issue, I think if people just look at, well, what direct action can we take to stuff it up, what they're trying to do.
Yeah, pretty much. You have a look at whatever agenda or whatever campaign or whatever tactics they're using and do the direct opposite and just punch them right in the nose with it, basically.
Well, it just makes it unworkable. And I mean, like, for example, with the New Zealand Food Bill, one of the tactics there would be to maybe a direct sign-on letter to the Minister Kate Wilkinson and just say up front that there is no way that we're going to stop growing food, sharing it amongst our community, sharing seed. That's it. I pledge that I will not be bound by any law you're going to try and pass on behalf of agricultural big business and big pharma, because that's what it's all about, the New Zealand food bill. Yeah,
absolutely. It's just Codex Alimentarius trying to control everybody's food and ability to take care of their own health, which is one of the worst forms of tyranny known. And I had Keith Stewart on the show yesterday. I'm not sure if you know that. Yeah, I had him on for a good hour. And we had a good in-depth discussion about various things and closed it off with the food bill. And he's basically put it out just saying that, well, I have never seen this kind of thing ever in my entire career happen in New Zealand.
Well, it's fascinating because the facts, seek truth from facts, always go to source and find the information out for yourself. And what I found, which was absolutely mind-blowing, was that if this New Zealand food bill is purportedly to help protect the public health and make sure that, you know, food safety is improved, well, where's the problem? Because back in 2009, the number of reported deaths from foodborne illness were, guess how many?
Seven?
Six. Six. However, there was a report from the acting, from the coroner in 2006, and this was a press statement in reply to the government wanting to sort of clamp down on the use of natural therapies, etc. And the coroner made reference in this very hard-hitting press statement about, in 1998, the last reported figures that were publicly available for deaths in New Zealand through adverse reactions to legal drugs, guess how many? In 1 year, the number of reported deaths from adverse reactions to pharmaceutical drugs.
4,000?
Not that many. It was 1,524, probably three times the road code. Anyway, that was reported deaths from adverse reactions to pharmaceutical drugs. Now,
and that's just the reported ones. Goodness knows how many unreported there are.
Well, that's true, and that's not mentioning all the people who are seriously sick. These are the reported deaths, okay? Now, guess how many reported deaths there were in New Zealand in 1998 from mistakes by doctors or medical staff? Guess how many?
Oh, there'd be quite a few. Hey, in fact, I was talking to my mate last night. His missus works at Auckland Hospital, and apparently you would not believe just how many times surgeons accidentally sew a pair of scissors into people.
Yes, I've heard that one. Well, the number of reported deaths in 1998, deaths by doctor or medical staff, 4,222. So when you add up 1,524 and 4,222, you have nearly 6,000 reported deaths.
Okay, 6,000 versus 6. It's not entirely dissimilar from how that reminds me of just Israel's policy towards Palestine, where Palestinians will send up rockets, they'll kill 14 Israelis, and then the Israelis will invade Gaza and kill 1,400 Palestinians?
Well, yes. But the bottom line is there that surely, you see, I just have the simple peasant brain that thinks, well, why don't you focus on the main problem here? If you've got a public health problem, then surely it's patient safety that's the issue here, not food safety. 6,000 deaths versus 6. And, I mean, the fact of the matter is, I mean, I've tried to find the current figures, reported deaths from adverse reactions to legal drugs and death by doctor, nurse mistakes, and I can't find them. Why is it that these figures are not publicly available so that people can see them in a transparent and accountable way?
Probably because they make them look really, really, really bad, and in a propagandistic fashion, of course, they just keep that information keep secret.
Well, I mean, I think you can look all around the world, and I would say that the figures would be similar. You know, how many people are dying, death by from adverse reactions to drugs, legal drugs that apparently have been approved and gone through. Well, not that there's that many bells and whistles they have to go through, because it seems they get the big fat rubber stamp. Because I know when we fought the swine flu scam in New Zealand in 2009, and I got an Official Information Act reply from our Minister for Health, Tony Ryle, and what he made very clear in his letter was that MedSafe, which is the body in New Zealand that's responsible for checking the safety of medicines, they just go on the data sheet provided directly from the vaccine manufacturers. So what sort of independent double check is that? Hello?
It's just insane. I can't believe it.
Well, it is. But so the issue here is, like, where's the crisis? I mean, this food bill, it's an enormous creature. I mean, it's, you know, I just about have to buy a ream of paper to print it all off. It's nearly 400 pages, for God's sake. So you've got all this massive amount of literature in this bill triggered by, you know, less than a dozen deaths a year from foodborne illness. So what's it really about? And then, as you know, I did some digging and found out, well, what are the, I was looking for the smoking gun link between CODIS alimentarius, the World Trade Organization, and the New Zealand food bill, and I couldn't immediately find it. I looked at all the evidence that came from the different parties supporting the food bill. I looked at a number of submissions from key players for the food bill. Couldn't find anything directly. And then I just Googled, I love Google, Codex Commission New Zealand, and ping, there it was, New Zealand Food Safety Authority, and there's a whole stack of information there. This is the same body that's pushing for the food bill, but then another section of Food Safety Authority pushing for you know, New Zealand to carry out its part in terms of the World Trade and CODIS alimentarius. And it seems to me that the food bill is far more about trade than it is public health. Yeah, that's the guts of it. And that'll be the same internationally as well. But I'm pleased to be able to report that today the New Zealand Food Bill, the petition, that's they're trying to get 50,000 signatures. Well, today there's over 35,000. So, yeah, the word is definitely getting out, and more and more people are signing it, which is good as just a basic consciousness-raising thing. But what we need to do, I think, is to organise some action. All those people who are concerned about it, I would like to, you know, I'd like to see and support some form of organising focus, protest, picket, whatever, in order to help focus public attention on this. But I really think we need a public meeting where all the political parties are invited and they get to the hard questions and ask, what's this food bill really about?
Yeah, indeed, indeed. Well, look, it's when you get these people, they're like cockroaches. Shine the light on them and they'll skitter away. Okay, so, you know, even if you do call a public meeting and invite them all, just kind of like the great health debate that I covered a number of years ago that was hosted by Health Freedom, the three parties that were actually in government at that time were the only parties who didn't bother showing up. What does that tell you about our health care system and exactly how much evidence and facts it has to back up its efficacy and safety? Not a hell of a lot, I can assure you. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very, very special, fabulous guest is Ms. Penny Bright, coming us live from Auckland, the fluoridated capital of New Zealand. And we'll be right back after the break for hour number two.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are. We are. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back to hour number two. The fastest 2 hours in talk radio, baby. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Live from the future. All of those of you in the States and the Uber Kingdom, basically if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, we're already a day ahead of you. And this is why we give you the best news, because it's way ahead of everybody else. I'm just joking. Penny Bright is my guest. The activist, waterpressure.wordpress.com is her site. And you can also search Penny Bright on Google on the video segment, and it'll come up with a shockingly large amount of videos that I've done with her. All right, now, what were we getting on to next, Penny? Have we finished up with the food bill yet?
Not quite. It's just the whole point of having a supposed health system based on sickness, not wellness. Like New Zealand, the health budget is like $13 billion per year. But how much money could be saved? I mean, if everybody was fit and well, there'd be a lot of doctors and pharmaceutical companies out of a job. So, I mean, they've got a vested interest, really, in people being sick or remaining sick. I mean, not being rude, but, I mean, let's just look at the facts here. And when you look at it internationally, what you've got are all these, you know, the growing gap between rich and poor, these third world impoverished nations, all these poor little kids who are being, and their families, who are being deprived of proper food, you know, adequate food, water, and housing. But let's not fix the underlying poverty, which is the root cause of this. Let's just jab them. And who gets the money from that? So, you know, it's
I was talking to my friend yesterday, and he says, yeah, but the vaccines are free. And I go, how are they free? Okay. How do you think they got there? You think they just magically appeared out of thin air? No. They were manufactured by giant evil, and let's not use that word sparingly, evil pharmaceutical companies, and the government pays for them. That means you pay for them, okay? So they're not free in any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, dead right. See, I just back to the New Zealand food bill. Here's a case study that shows just how genuine the concerns of our New Zealand Minister, Kate Wilkinson, how genuine her concerns are about New Zealand's food safety, because she rejected an appeal by GE Free New Zealand against the Food Standards Australia New Zealand's authority, who approved the genetically engineered 2,4-D resistant foods and totally overrode the concerns of the submitters and ignored increased levels of toxic chemicals in GE foods and the impacts on human and animal wealth. So, you know, hello, and yet Kate Wilkinson wants us to believe that this food bill is all about helping to improve or protect public health? What a load of crap.
Yeah, well, when it comes to government policy, I think you've kind of nailed it on the head there. What a load of crap. And that's just kind of seems in general. I mean, in fact, when was the last time a piece of legislation was passed that actually did some good?
Well, that's a very good question, because in my considered opinion, that if you ever want to look at any legislation which actually benefited like the 99% as opposed to the 1%, I don't believe there's ever been any legislation that's been passed without a huge lot of fuss and bother happening outside Parliament or government first. You see, you know, how our society works and our so-called democracy. It works according to the golden rule. Those who have the gold make the rules. And this election in New Zealand showed that really clearly as well. We tend to get the government that the majority of big business want us to have. And In New Zealand, for example, there was a very illuminating article in the Herald on Sunday back on November the 13th last year, and business leaders' policies that pass go. 2 weeks out from the general election, the Herald on Sunday approached business leaders to see what they thought of the political party's policies. And guess what? The five major business organisations were employers and manufacturers, the Auckland Property Investors Association, Business Roundtable, and the Auckland and Wellington Chambers of Commerce. And guess what? The favourite policy of the majority of them was partial sale of state-owned assets, privatisation. So, and if their least favoured policies were the national awards system, Labor, capital gains tax, Labor, lifting the minimum wage, Labor, no GST on fruit and vegetables, Labor. So people, and some activists, I'm afraid, I think didn't show a huge amount of political nous by saying, oh, there's no difference between them, they're all the same. Because if you have an anti-capitalist perspective, well, don't you think the sensible thing to do would be to look at what the capitalists want and oppose it?
Well, I think more or less you'd actually have to have a look at what capitalism actually is. And if you have a look at any of the policies that the National Party or the ACT Party are putting in, they've got nothing to do with capitalism whatsoever. It's just straight fascism.
Well,
you know, fascism is about corporations taking over the state, and capitalism is about telling the state to get the hell out of people's business. And neither Labor nor National do anything close to that.
Yeah, but the reality is that, in my view, people that just say, oh, elections, sort of, who cares, they're all the same, I don't believe that's actually the case. I mean, like I said in court, when this is with the Occupy Auckland court case, and it was lovely to be able to say this in a packed court, public courtroom, was that, in my opinion, that strategically both Labor and National are parties of capitalism, but the reality is that sometimes the majority of big business prefer National, sometimes the majority of big business support Labor. And the reality is that through corporate media, that is how they steer the public mind or the public opinion. Because like when I stood in Epsom on a campaign to action plan to help prevent corruption, white collar crime, and corporate welfare, because I was very much targeting National and ACT, but particularly ACT, because that is who the New Zealand National Party relied upon for a coalition partnership. And what happened was, I got absolutely stuff all media coverage. And Occupy Auckland members, a number of them, we marched down the street from Aotea Square, where Occupy Auckland was based, and we marched on the offices of the Finance Markets Authority, and I formally handed over a letter to go to the CEO calling for ACT's One Law for All to equally apply to John Banks, the ACT Party candidate for Epsom, and the ACT Party leader, Don Brash, both of whom had been directors of a company called Hulich Wealth Management New Zealand Limited, and what they had both done as directors had equally signed registered prospectuses for a Hulich KiwiSaver scheme, which contained untrue statements. Well, under the New Zealand Securities Act 1978, section 58.3, I think it is, that if you, as a director, sign a registered prospectus which contains an untrue statement, an offence has been committed. Like when you drive 60 k's an hour in a 50 k area, you don't have to prove intent. You did it, you've committed an offence. And the only defence to that offence is that at the time of signing, you didn't realise it was an untrue statement. Well, hang on a minute. If Don Brash, the former governor of the New Zealand Reserve Bank, and John Banks, business person for 30 years, were encouraging investors, mum and dad investors, to invest in this Hulich KiwiSaver scheme because of their supposed or purported commercial expertise. You can't have it both ways. on the one hand, your commercial geniuses trust us, we know what we're doing, and the next minute, oh, bugger, we didn't actually know what we were doing. How's that?
Yeah, yeah. It's a lie, and that's pretty much straight up what it is. These two scumbags know that they're above reproach, basically. They've got a huge standing in the community, and so for anybody to actually take them down, you'd actually have to take down the whole criminal banking network that operates in this country?
Well, it hasn't stopped us trying. So what happened was, so we members of Occupy Auckland, March was when we marched down Queen Street, Main Street in Auckland, and we had these lovely banners, which included the election photo of John Key, because don't forget, New Zealand, we have our very own Wall Street bankster running this country. And in the year 2000, he was a foreign exchange advisor to the New York Federal Reserve, and he used to actually work in Wall Street. So you can't get much more Wall Street banksterish than that. And not only is he currently a shareholder in the Bank of America, but when he worked for Merrill Lynch, he was the head of derivatives. And I sent an open letter to John Key, our Prime Minister, wanting to know, asking him directly, how much was he personally responsible for this global financial meltdown, given his role as a former head of derivatives for Merrill Lynch? I mean, someone had to start all this bullshit. So how much of a role did he play in that?
Funnily you can't say that on FCC regulations. It's got to be BS, Benny.
Oh, sorry. I do apologise. I'll let myself off with a warning. How's that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, we'll give you a slap on the wrist with a wet financial statement.
Well, what happened with John Banks and Don Brash and this formal complaint, the CEO of the Finance Markets Authority in New Zealand, Sean Hughes, he refused to do anything about it, claiming that the previous Securities Commission had basically investigated and, you know, essentially there was no case to answer. So a week later, we set off from Aotea Square, members of Occupy Auckland and myself, and we went down to the offices of the Serious Fraud Office. And not only did we ask the director of the New Zealand Serious Fraud Office, Adam Feely, to do the job that the Finance Markets Authority should have done and equally lay charges against Don Brash and John Banks, that we also wanted the Finance Markets Authority investigated for not doing their job. Well, strange to state, Adam Feely, it was also put in writing that the Serious Fraud Office, they also refused to do anything about it. And so the update on that is that I have, on the 23rd of December this year, 2011, I formally requested the Auckland Superintendent, the Auckland District Commander Superintendent George Fraser, of New Zealand Police to take all necessary steps to ensure the police ensure that one law for all equally applies to Don Brash and John Banks and that the police charge them. Because what happened was there were three directors and there's only one director, Peter Hulich. Now, he was charged, convicted and sentenced, but they all equally signed those registered prospectuses. And so I believe that is very much a form of corruption. I believe there was protection politically at the highest levels. That's my considered opinion. Because
he was a fall guy. He was a fall guy, a patsy. They got into business with him because he'd be trusting enough to think that, oh, John Banks and Don Brash wouldn't screw me over or anything like that. He thought he was in on the scam. And then when they sold him out, he was just like, oh, my God, now I have to go to prison. And the people that can possibly get me out are the biggest, most powerful scumbags in the world who need me to go to prison in order to get them off the hook.
He didn't actually get sentenced to prison, but he was charged and convicted. That's the key.
What kind of comeuppance did he get? How much money how much investor money did they lose?
Well, I don't know that investors actually lost much money, but it's not the point. The point is that these people are supposed to know what they're doing. That since 2006 in New Zealand, which is purportedly perceived to be the least corrupt country in the world, guess how many collapsed finance companies there have been in New Zealand?
Didn't we have like 19 or 20 something?
65.
Far out!
Since 2006.
65. Wow.
And that's why the old useless Securities Commission was replaced by the New Zealand Finance Markets Authority, because they were supposed to be a lot tougher and more vigilant and blah, 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 to give more more hope to the mum and dad investors, because so many of them have lost billions of dollars through these collapsed finance companies. And what happens is we find out that this new finance markets authority, in my view, doesn't seem to be much of an improvement on the old one. But guess what? In terms of political corruption, how does this work? The CEO of the Finance Markets Authority, Sean Hughes, how did he get his job? He was appointed by the Finance Markets Authority Establishment Board. Now, who appointed them? They were handpicked by National Party Commerce Minister Simon Power. And the process is that they go through a cabinet appointments and honours committee, which is made up of National Party cabinet ministers. So if you're a CEO and you have been picked by hand-picked National Party appointees, are you really going to rattle the cage very much if it could affect those people who help put you in your place? Because that's what I've discovered as what I believe is another form of corrupt practice. It's like one of the key jobs of ministers in New Zealand, this will be the same internationally, is the appointment of boards of directors of a whole range of state-owned enterprises, crown entities. And so how is this how you reward your political donors? Is this how you reward your political mates? By making sure they get appointed to these, you know, very powerful organisations, which may still be owned by the public, but in whose interests are they being governed? And another one is knighthoods. Who gets knighthoods? I mean, they brought that back, God help us. But, I mean, is this another way that you can reward your donors and your business mates through knighthoods?
Yeah, well, knighthoods are pretty prestigious, and if you're a criminal and you have a knighthood, mate, you can pull off some really high-level scams because everybody trusts you implicitly. And the easiest way to pull off a big scam is if you don't have to convince the people because they just trust you because you've got a knighthood.
Well, there is all that, but it's all perception. So what happened was, now this is a biggie. Internationally, this is going to be huge. Because what happened was when the CEO of the Finance Markets Authority and the director of the Series
Oh, sorry, Penny, we'll have to leave that there and continue on after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, tune in through the chat room if you can. Go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and click on the chat button there up the top and join us in there. Back in a moment at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the major media destroys information, and religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
Well, you ever hear about in this country? It's our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. If you know anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. Tuberculite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Tuberculite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. Tuberculite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Your daily dose of conspiracy and comedy is the Vinnie Eastwood Show. In a world so full of madness and chaos, don't lose your sense of humor or you'll go friggin' nuts. Weekdays 5 to 7 Central on American Freedom Radio.
Wayne rappers, but I've never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles, but I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about incredible credibility. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I'm totally incredible, but my guest here, Penny Bright, is very credible. Indeed. And over the break, we were talking about character assassination and technically, on a technical term, I like to use bad terms and that kind of thing just to connote bad images in people's minds. Because when you're talking about character assassination, the first thing that comes to mind is, oh, good person going out there doing things, blowing the whistle, and then a massive corporation will do a character assassination on them to demonize them and to make people stop listening to them. However, if you do a character assassination on some form of corrupt individual such as John Banks, Don Brash, John Key, and all of those particular assorted filth, I think it's perfectly justified and, in fact, absolutely necessary for these people's reputations to be smeared with a very, very nasty brush supported only by the facts. That is technically character assassination, is precisely what is necessary, I feel, nowadays, because people are just, they've got this kind of belief structure, don't you think, Penny? It's almost like this John Banks religion.
Well, the reality is, in New Zealand, that John Key, it's the coverage in mainstream media. I mean, I know that his media spin doctors have told him, just get out, mix and mingle, shake the people's hands, pretend to smile and pretend to be caring about ordinary people when you couldn't give a stuff, because I've been 3 feet away from him, and he knows who I am, because I took a private prosecution against him over arguably a corrupt practice with Transrail, and I believe that I'm the only person that's ever done that. So he's 3 feet away from me, and he's pretending to be pleased to see me. give me a break. And I looked into his face, and, I mean, you know, his face got a lot of lines. I mean, I'm 57, I've got a lot of lines on my face, but I think it's the forcing, the fake smile, because the eyes aren't really smiling. It's all pretending. It's just pretending. But anyway, back to, like, 2012, I do believe it's going to be the year of the revolting peasant. And one of the things that I want to do is I really, really want to try and help get John Banks, who is the ACT member for Epson, I want to force his resignation. And the reason for that is because I think it is an outrage that in New Zealand, which is purported to be the least corrupt country in the world, that the balance of power is arguably being held by a yet-to-be-convicted or charged white-collar criminal. I mean, hello. Because what happened was, I'm appalled at Transparency International, okay? They claim to be the organisation internationally which is at the forefront of fighting bribery and corruption. Well, I went to their conference in 2010 and I dished out about 400 copies of my New Zealand Corruption Reality Checklist. And there are about nearly 20 points which said, well, you know, just from the basics, has New Zealand yet ratified the United Nations Convention Against Corruption? No. Does New Zealand have an independent body charged with exposing corruption to help prevent corruption? No. Do our MPs have a code of conduct? No. Do our judges have a code of conduct? No. There's a whole stack of things. Anyway, I dished this out, this corruption reality checklist, because it's like, how on earth can New Zealand be perceived to be, at that stage it was first equal the least corrupt country in the world, along with Denmark and Singapore, when we do not have the legislative framework in place to help ensure genuine, open, transparent and democratically local government, central government and judiciary. I mean, how many people know that in New Zealand that court cases are regularly not recorded? How can justice be done or be seen to be done when there's no record in court of what was done? How can a court of record not keep a record? Hello, this is the least corrupt country in the world? I don't think so. Anyway,
thinking about it, like corruption is so much easier in a really small environment because it means you've got a very tight-knit clique running the show, don't you think?
Well, that's part of it, because there's no doubt about it. I mean, in New Zealand, our country is run by basically an infestation of corrupt corporate cockroaches, which have sort of inveigled themselves into every available nook and cranny. So it's not just business people are actually part of the government process. They get involved in terms of being policy analysts, or they're treated as independent third parties when their vested interests with most definitely, who stand to gain from legislation that they're pushing for. And I think I've discussed this before on your show, but in New Zealand we have a form of grand corruption, because you've got like grand corruption and petty corruption. Petty corruption is you give the cops $50 to get off the ticket. Grand corruption is where you have vested interests that get their way at the policy level before the legislation is passed. And I want all the people who are listening to this show to think very carefully about this one, because in New Zealand we are rotten with this endemic form of corrupt practice known as state capture. And how they do it, look for things like regulatory impact statements or reports. Find out who the policy analysts have been consulting with before the proposed legislation goes to cabinet. Check it out. Get the names. I mean, where's the transparency? People who work in Treasury, who work as these policy analysts, where have they come from? What are their backgrounds? What are their connections? This is a really big deal, because I'm telling you, that's how they do it. Anyway, so what happened was that in light of the New Zealand Finance Markets Authority and the New Zealand Serious Fraud Office refusing to lift a finger and apply one law to all equally to John Banks and Don Brash, I made a formal request to the board of Transparency International to urgently review New Zealand's perceived status as the first equal least corrupt country in the world. I never got even an acknowledgement of my correspondence. And, good grief, a few days later, on the 1st of December, Transparency International, they announced to the world their 2011 Corruption Perception Index. The country perceived to be the least corrupt country in the world, New Zealand. So I tell you what, I've had enough. I'm now going to blow the whistle internationally against Transparency International. I don't believe their Corruption Perception Index is worth the paper it is written on. They are not listening to whistleblowers like myself, and I believe that their Corruption Perception Index is effectively a rort and a fraud.
Well, the best way to control opposition is to lead it. So I'm acting under the assumption that the people who are the most corrupt in the world are the ones who have a hand in Transparency International so that they can use it as a front organization to cover up their corruption. That's just an assumption on my part with no evidence.
Well, the fact of the matter is when I was at their conference, Transparency International conference in 2011, what hit me on the head like a sledgehammer, and I think I've mentioned this before, was the fact that the global procurement market was, I think, $14 trillion, $14,000 billion, of which $2.5 trillion, $2,500 billion, was estimated to be lost in bribery and corruption. Well, it wasn't really lost. It's just that poor people get it tagged on to the cost of electricity or whatever. The costs of bribery and corruption are included in the service bill. Okay? And then it hit me like a sledgehammer. Oh, my God. This is the Auckland mayoral campaign all over again. It's contracting out is the root cause of corruption. And where is the focus on privatisation, on the fact that where's the cost-benefit analysis that all this contracting out of services that used to be provided in-house at central and local government, where's the cost-benefit analysis that all this contracting out is a better use of taxpayer or ratepayer money? And I asked that question in a plenary session. It's like I'd slapped the convener's face because I thought, oh, my God, they're not concentrating on the root cause of corruption, which is contracting. How is it decided who gets the contracts? Well, I did a lot more SWAT over these holidays over white-collar crime, and I'm now a bit more familiar with tax evasion, tax havens, and how the corporate 1% get away with it. Because the reality is that when you have bribes and corruption, where is it that these bribes and corruption, where are they hidden? They're hidden in these secret bank accounts and these offshore tax havens. And then I find out, oh my goodness, there's a whole stack of tax havens which are British Crown dependencies, like Isle of Man, Jersey, etc. And on the one hand, you get the UK government, which is responsible for the governance of these, these dependencies upon which these tax havens have hatched, and they're doing absolutely nothing except support them. So how dodgy is that? How much public money could be used to help the public if corporations and the wealthy paid their fair share of tax? We're talking billions of dollars here. Why are tax havens even lawful? How's that okay? It's not. And then I discovered, to my delight, that there's a group called, I think it's Tax Justice International, which in 2007 had a bit of a full frontal biff with Transparency International, saying your definition of bribery and corruption is far too narrow. Why aren't you looking at things like tax evasion and tax havens? I thought, I'm going to make contact with these people because we are so on the same page. We are so on the same page. And what is John Key wanting to do with New Zealand? He's wanting to set up New Zealand as some sort of financial hub. Well, what's that? A tax haven? Hello? With all his banks, the mates, and of course, how useful to have the perceived status as being the least corrupt country in the world. What a load of crap. I mean, rubbish. Anyway, yeah. Oh,
well, you can say crap. So you should. tax havens. Hey, hold on a second. How many people And I mean, I'm talking about real people here, like people who actually go in, work hard out day after day, whatever, paying their taxes and all of that kind of stuff. How many of those people benefit from tax havens? I'd wager freaking Zippo. The people who are the uber money men who run financial houses and have enormous businesses and things of that nature, how many of them use tax havens? I'd wager pretty much every one of them. Because, hey, the incredibly rich don't pay tax, do they? They always find a way out of it because they don't want to pay their dues. And even so, taxation in and of itself is just ridiculous because I've not seen any justification for it whatsoever. And as far as I know, income tax, or at least in this country alone, doesn't go to any roading, doesn't go to any health care. It simply goes to pay the interest of the loans to the international banks who've made it up out of frickin' thin air.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, you know, these things sort of like hit you like a sledgehammer, because I think I've discussed on your show Project on Government Oversight, POGO. And for those people who are listening from the US, say, you have got a brilliant non-governmental organisation there. POGO, been going for 30 years investigating, you know, public oversight of spending at USA federal government level. POGO, P-O-G-O. Have a look for yourself, because they have done some brilliant research. September last year, after 3 years of research, what they uncovered after studying, I think it's 550 different service activities at USA federal government level, and what they discovered, that contracting out was twice as expensive as providing those services in-house, which means a USA federal government budget of $500 billion could be sliced in half by cutting out the contractors. So my argument is, in New Zealand, given that under the whole Rogernomics privatisation model, we have had so much contracting out, arguably, could we in New Zealand slice over $40 billion out of a 82 central government spend by cutting out the contractors? And that just wouldn't be for 1 year. That would be ongoing. Well, $40,000 million might help a few poor people who really need assistance, don't you think? And what it's happening is, if you've got all this money being spent on private sector contractors, and if the facts and evidence show that they're not providing that service more cheaply and cost effectively than by the bureaucracy, as it were, as opposed to the contractocracy, then that's just corporate welfare. That is corporate welfare, taking money from poor people and giving it, wasting it on those who own the companies that are doing the contracting. Well, I mean, I'm sorry, but I believe that is absolutely unacceptable.
I think it's totally acceptable. You know, you give tax breaks to the people who are wealthy as, and then you blame the people who are collecting an incredibly small, unlivable benefit from the government and say that they're the problem.
well, that's exactly right. I mean, what we're looking at is the government wants to micromanage poor people, come down really hard on social welfare, when we've got billions of dollars hemorrhaging out in the top, this absolute geyser of dollars, and where's the accountability? I mean, where has anyone ever bothered to even do any form of cost-benefit analysis? Oh, there isn't any.
These people don't have any idea. You know, look at the government, ladies and gentlemen. We can make money up out of thin air, and we can take yours off you with zero justification and spend it on stuff that's way too expensive than it should be. We're efficient. We're efficient at making debt, and we're efficient at making corruption go on forth. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. And by the way, it's the same big club they used to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich. They don't give a f*** about you. They don't give a f*** about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. Yeah. You know? And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant, because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Your life, as it has been, is over.
Radio for Humanity on AFR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift, Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Central.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face, all when my back is turned.
They'll pass legislation to get
they
you thrown
like
away.
Me without face.
Oh, no. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about burying the past and making sure that the future is incredibly dark, as if it was buried as well, under mountains and mountains of draconian legislation passed with zero justification by sociopathic criminals and government. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Penny Bright, and we're kind of wrapping up now. Speaking of forms of corrupt practice, Simon Power, and of course, you know, you expect a person with the last name like Power to be somebody who craves a lot of the such, and he winds up after, of course, doing a whole lot of nasty stuff like taking away jury trials for people in New Zealand and goodness knows what else, you know, just basically a full-on douchebag. And then he winds up getting his job where? Oh, yeah, that's right, at Westpac Bank. Who does all the government's banking, by the way? That's right, it's Westpac's bank.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point that, because in Australia, for example, that would be unlawful. It's this revolving door. It's called post-separation employment. And there should be a quarantine period of, say, 18 months, 2 years from the time you leave public office, especially if you've been a minister, to taking up a job in the private sector where you could use your previous influence, contacts or whatever in this private capacity. Well, Simon Tarr, who was the Minister of Commerce and Justice, which in my view is actually a bit of a conflict of interest when it comes to fighting white-collar crime, he's now the CEO of Westpac Private Bank. Hello. Well, back in 2009, the New Zealand Inland Revenue Department successfully prosecuted Westpac over tax avoidance, because Westpac was trying to get out of paying, I think it was nearly $1 billion worth of tax. And who gave them advice on this tax avoidance was a man called Mr. John Shewan, S-H-E-W-A-N. Well, from my investigations, not only was this John Shewan never actually charged for giving this advice, because how can that be okay if you give advice which is found in court to be the tax evasion? Well, how was giving tax evasion not unlawful? Anyway, well, nothing happened to him. He went on to become the CEO of PricewaterhouseCoopers. And not only was he not charged for anything, he ended up on this tax working group. Hello? So I had a quick skim through their 75-page report because I thought, oh, they want a fairer tax system. Gee, I wonder what they've got to say about tax evasion or tax avoidance. Guess what? Absolutely squat was said about tax evasion, tax avoidance. And then you look at the people who were on it, and of course you've got members of the Pinstripe Mafia, the four major accountancy firms, who are, and that's their profession effectively, is tax evasion and tax avoidance. And it's happening at the highest level. So how dodgy is that? Because the reality is that there's three different forms of capital. There is finance capital, which is money for shareholders. There's human capital, which is labour. And there's social capital, which is like tax, which is supposed to go back to help the running of society, the provision of healthcare, blah, blah, all that sort of stuff. But if you've got those involved in finance capital not paying their share, then what that means, it's a lot harder on the poor people. And, for example, it's been estimated, the US Treasury estimates that it may be losing over $345 billion each year due to a variety of tax avoidance evasion schemes, and that was from the US Treasury in 2009. And a really interesting point here is how many people know that developing countries, often some of the poorest, receive around $120 billion in foreign aid. And that was from The Guardian on the 30th of March 2009. So that's $120 billion in foreign aid from G20 countries, but they are estimated to be losing between $858 billion and $1 trillion, that's $1,000 billion, through illicit financial outflows each year, mainly to Western countries. So, hello, perhaps if we didn't have this tax evasion happening in these poor developing countries, they wouldn't need the foreign aid. It's not complicated. Yeah. So anyway, but
have you noticed that that's the interesting part about people's perceptions when you tell them stuff like that and they go, oh, no, it just can't be that simple. It's like, I'm sorry, it is that simple, okay? That's the reason why the scam works. If a scam gets too complicated, there are lots of things that can go wrong with it. If the scam is simple, it is very effective, kind of like anything.
Well, the thing is this, that I've been reading a lot of stuff that's been put together by a group called the Centre for Global Accountability. There's Professor Prem Sekar, who's a professor at the University of Essex in the UK. Now, this is a website that I really recommend people who want to get their head around more how the 1% get away with it. Check out www.aaba.global.org. Check out that website. They've got some really, really hard-hitting, really well-researched stuff, because one of the documents that I was reading over the holidays called Smoke and Mirrors, Corporate Social Responsibility and Tax Avoidance, because these corporates make a big deal about talking about social responsibility, but they've paid little attention to organised tax avoidance. So how genuine are companies who talk about social responsibility if they don't pay their fair share of corporate tax? I mean, how, you know, how BS is that?
Yeah, so I'm coming to the point where you almost can just assume corruption when you look at virtually any organization, any government agency or anything, anywhere, at any time. You just assume corruption, and 90% of the time you'll wind up being correct.
Well, just a couple, because we'll be finishing soon. So if people want to know a bit more about what's happening in New Zealand in this fight against white-collar crime, corruption and corporate welfare, what's got up-to-date information on that is www.pennybright, Pennybright4Epsom.org.nz. Pennybright4Epsom.org.nz. I think you'll enjoy it. Because what was hilarious during the Epsom campaign, because I was getting so grumpy that mainstream media were absolutely ignoring my attempts to put a public spotlight on John Banks and Don Brash's conduct in terms of not being, they talk about one law for all, but it wasn't applying to them. So what happened was I used this technique, which I call piggybacking, which is when you make your own signs on your real estate core flute signs, and you staple your message onto your opposition's hoardings. Now, I put my name on it, on these messages, like white collar crim, ? On John Banks's hoardings. They're stapled in there, but they're very easy to remove. You can just pull them off. In fact, if you have a look on that website, www.pennybrightforepsom.org.nz, you'll see some hilarious photos, because we actually encountered John Banks while we were out doing this piggybacking exercise. He was not a happy chappy. He pulled up at his car and he tried to block our car from getting out, and he wrote down the number plate. And then there's this picture of him pulling off one of the hoardings, actually on a John Key hoarding, and he looks like the most petulant, spoilt brat 6-year-old you ever saw in your life, and it was hilarious. But I had my photo taken holding the staple gun next to the hoarding, and it was like, what was that president who chopped down the tree and was holding the axe, I cannot tell a lie, sort of thing? That sort of thing, quite open about it. You know, quite open about it, because I checked the consequences under the New Zealand Summary Offences Act, Section 11A, when they talk about defacing or damaging or whatever. I was prepared to argue in court that it wasn't damaging anything, and I could have used those photos of John Banks as evidence, because they really is. You just pull them off, and there's tiny little perforations where the staple was. Well, I was prepared to argue in court that that didn't constitute damage. But, of course, it's not rash to take a calculated risk. And I wanted them to take me to court, because then I thought, yay, at last we'll get a fuss over the issues. But, of course, no complaint was ever made. But the photos are there to tell a story, and I think you'll enjoy it, folks. That's a tactic you can consider taking, because it's really, really effective.
In fact, I think I even posted that photo on my website under the humour section. If you go to the vinnieeastwoodshow.com, just at the tip of the megaphone, there's a little button there called humour, and you can click on that. And it's got a whole bunch of photos, and one of which is the angry John Banks ripping the thing off the side. My God, that cracked me up. It's mostly because I really just don't like the guy, because every time I've met him and talked to him, and even when I've tried to be nice or reasonable or anything like that, he just acts like a total douche.
Well, what was hilarious, as part of the Epsom election campaign, there were a couple of public meetings. Well, I didn't hold back, In the second public meeting, which was packed with media and the public, what I had was one of my little core flute signs, which said, John Banks wasn't effective and efficient for Hewlett Wealth Management investors. And what happened was, there was John Banks, then this guy Colin Craig, then myself.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we'll have to leave that probably for another time. Penny, thank you very much for coming on today. It's a shame about the technical difficulties, because an extra 40 minutes probably would have been good. But we can do something about that at a later date, I'm sure, because I have serious doubts that you're going to stop being an activist and stop releasing information and stop telling people what the F is going on with this corrupt little island chained nation. I want to thank you very much for your efforts and for coming on for me today.
Thank you, Vinny, for the opportunity. And I mean, I'm really broken. Oh, you're really broken. I really do suggest that if people can't afford to give Vinny $5 a month to help keep his show on the road, that it's an investment.
Thank you very much, and we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.